Blog Talk Radio.
Great word, great guest to my show
for our audience to empower, encourage, and educate you so that you don't have to be stuck in yesterday's pains, but that you can operate in the freedom of now, because we serve a now God. Now God, now faith. Hebrews 1:1 tells that now faith is the substance, tangible, of things hoped for and the evidence, proof, of things not seen. So we serve a now God, and if we get stay stuck in our past, the pains of the past, we'll miss them. And if we get too far ahead of him to try to see and predict the future, we'll miss him. Why? Because he's right here, right now. He's ever present right now. And so we want you to know, and we want to make sure our audience know that we serve a now God, and we don't have to be stuck in yesterday's pains and hold on to those pain and bitterness and anger and frustration. And so tonight's show is going to be a really good show. I have a special guest in the studio. She is not new to Processing the Pain or the MCD Network, and I will be introducing her in a moment. But I want to set the scene. I want to set the stage so that you could truly get what you've come for tonight. You've come to listen, and I want you to walk away with some rhema word. I want you to walk away with some nuggets that are life-changing, that are transforming, because the Word of God tells us to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we want you to get your minds renewed on tonight, because I believe tonight's subject is something that we've all been through. We've all do it, even us seasoned saints. We're still doing the same thing. And so what is that, Coach D? Tonight's subject is when your all is not enough. I'm going to repeat that. When your all is not enough. It's not enough. And so what that means, and I'm going to read a scripture, and then after I read the scripture and set the scene, I'm going to introduce our studio guest tonight, and we're going to take this subject, and we're just going to go with it, and we just know we're excited because it blessed us as we were studying and prepping and deciding what is it that God wanted us to give to you all tonight. So I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 5, and I'm just going to read verses 4 through 8. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 8, and then we're going to break into this. But Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 8 says this. Now, when he was through speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. I want you to remember that, nevertheless. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Nevertheless, at thy word, form of obedience. So I just want you to remember that, because we're going to get into that. Then verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boat that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Note that Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 8, because as we get into this dialogue on tonight, this scripture and this scripture alone is what we're going to be talking about. There's some nuggets in here. There's some very important nuggets in here that we want to bring to you all. And we're just going to do some bullet points. And the bullet point is here. Jesus asked them to do something. They had been done it. They had already done it their way. And he asked them to do something. And they wanted to make sure he was aware that they done it, that they had already done it their way. The second thing is that when we've done it our way and we've done all we could do and it doesn't work and God come on the scene, he's always going to send people to help us. And the third thing is that oftentimes when we do it our way, we always have to go back to God and we're remorseful, we're repentant, and we're ashamed that we did it our way and we didn't originally do it the way he said it. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my special guest, my sis sister in Christ, Yvonne Campbell. Yvonne, are you in the studio on tonight?
I am, my beautiful sister. Thank you so much for having me on. I love you, and I appreciate you having me on tonight. I'm excited like you, sis.
Woo! I'm telling you, I love you too, and I thank you for coming and into the studio on tonight. And I'm always excited. I know this is not new to you. You've been a guest on Processing the Pain and MCD Network before, so this is like home for you. But I'm so excited because I know God is going to show up and show out. I've been watching you. You know, I know we live at a distance, but I've definitely been watching you. And so for our studio audience, I know you, and some of our studio audience may know you. But for those who don't, just give a little introduction. If you could just tell us who Yvonne is, who Yvonne, the woman of God, the woman of God, the businesswoman. Just give us a little bit about Yvonne.
Yeah, so nothing scripted, just, you know, off the top of my head. But, yeah, I have just been on this journey with God, you know, and just it's just been a whole process, you know, of just trusting him. And, I mean, I had no idea the time that I lifted my hands in the church service and I said yes to God. I was running from him. I was afraid. I was scared, bottom line. And ever since that day, my life has changed tremendously. I never would have guessed that I would be where I'm at today or on the path to where God is really taking me to. So for that, I am forever grateful. And it's just an honor, you know, to be an encouragement to other people. That is something I absolutely love to do, you know, be it in public or ministry or, you know, on the job or business, whatever. And so, I am just, you know, just taking one day at a time. And God is doing a lot of great things, you know. Just really, I would say that the most precious thing to me is just being able to encourage people, hopefully inspire, you know, other people in the different things. And, you know, I'll share more as we go. So I don't want to take up too much of your time, though.
No, I was getting ready to tell you. So Yvonne's got so much going. This sister's plate is full. She has her hands just loaded with things. I mean, so she has a clothing line. She had, tell us just a little bit about your clothing line.
Yeah, so the line is called Benazi, B-E-N-A-Z-I, and that all started with the idea of a phrase on a T-shirt, and then God just continued to, you know, download more ideas, and then I decided, well, why not brand it? You know, why do something simple and basic? Why not brand it? So then I, you know, put together the letters of my children's name, came up with the word Benazi, and you know, went on and trademarked it. And now I'm from there. I'm looking at all kind of different. You know, I'm actually working on different styles of clothing. You know, for men and women, and at, you know, soon enough we'll be adding children's clothing. But yeah, that, and then just doing outreach, outfeeding the homeless population here in Sacramento, California, just out praying for people that are sick, depressed, have mental health issues, dealing with, you know, poverty and lack, people that don't know the Lord. But through it all, the people are very receptive. So there's a huge turnout, and it's just a blessing, you know.
Amen. Well, I tell you, I know, like I said, that you're doing a lot with feeding the homeless, and I see you when you guys are out there, and then with your clothing line. So, I know you have a lot going on. So that's going to take us into the show tonight, where we're going. And so where we're going is when your all is not enough. And those who may be just now tuning in, you may want to note, we read earlier Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 8, and I'm just going to do a quick summary as we go into it. So those that are just now listening in and coming into the studio, you will know that tonight's subject is in Luke chapter 4, verses 8 is when Jesus had told Simon them to put back out their nets. And when he told them to put back out their nets, their response was this: "But Master, we've been toiling all night. We already did it our way, and we did it, and we didn't get nothing." So they kind of argued with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Just throw the nets back out there." In other words, just do what I say. And so, in the midst of that, of Jesus telling them to throw the nets back out, and Simon said, "Well, we did this, this, and this, but nevertheless, we'll do what you're telling us to do." So obedience. And so afterwards, it was so much fish that their other fishermen around had to come and help them. And so one thing we noticed when we've been doing things our way and our way is not working and God has to step in the scene to tell us to do it his way, the first thing we notice is that we got to be obedient. We can't argue the fact that, well, I already did it that way and it didn't work for me, so it ain't going to work again, so I'm just not going to do it. We have to be obedient. The second thing is, again, we mentioned is that not just with obedience, but once you become obedient, God will send people to help you. So even though you've done it your way, it didn't work, but when you do it his way, he'll send people to help, and we've seen that. And then we said the last thing was is that after you do it God's way, he sent people to help you. Oftentimes, what we do is when we have been disobedient and we've decided to do things our way, we find ourselves, after God step on the scene and he show up and show out, we find ourselves just in a spirit of repentance, in a spirit of either repentance or remorse, you know, just ashamed that we didn't do it God's way in the beginning. So with that being said, sister, I want us to talk to the people, and I want them to be able to get a word, a rhema word, about when our all is not enough.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, what you opened up with was so beautiful to me, because you talked about how faith is in the now, and that's so important for us to remember, you know, and, you know, remind ourselves of that every day, because it's in the now. So maybe all the effort we put forth even yesterday might have failed, you know, in our eyes. But faith being in the now is that, you know what, if God says go left, I'm going to go left because I trust him, which takes me back to Proverbs 3:5. And I have quoted that scripture I don't know how many times, but really, really wasn't grasping it while I was going through the motions, you know. But look at what the Amplify says. Trust in the Lord. No. The Message, I'm sorry. Proverbs 3:5 Message says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. I'm so guilty of having done that, Lord. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all.
And that,
you know, and I believe
that
that's what,
No, go ahead, sister.
No, I was going to say that, you know, kind of reminds me of Luke 5:5, because I know I've been there too, where it, you know, it becomes an argument. Well, God, I did that. He said, no, we'll drop your nets again. And look what happened. You know, just through the submission, I heard you, but I'm going to be quick to do what you told me to do. I'm not going to think too hard on it. I'm not going to try to figure it all out and add it all up. No, when he said drop the net, that's all they needed to do. It wasn't based on their understanding or their perception or their experience in the past, but it was them simply doing it. And when they did, they had so much fish that even the boat was sinking, you know. So it just really reminds us that, you know, we have to have that faith, that now faith, constantly, you know, letting go of what happened yesterday? What happened 20 minutes ago? You know what I mean? It's constantly the past. It's constantly the past. So the now is, you know, I don't need to keep dwelling on all the things that didn't work, or if I could even say the opposition that we encounter from people, because that does come with the territory, but just to keep pressing through it and trusting with all our heart that, you know what, no matter what, God can do anything but fail. And when we know, we are fully convinced God is on my side, then we know, you know, we have the victory and we will succeed at it.
Mm. Yes, and in that script, see, we can learn a lot when we go to the scripture and we don't read the letter, but we make a conscious decision to activate the spirit of God that lives inside of us. Those words become life, and they become transforming. Because even in that, I've read that scripture hundreds of times, but just in for this particular subject, it became life. And the life that I've seen in it, just think, has Simon been so stuck in what he did then in the past? What if he would have told God, and we've done this, we ain't all, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not super duper spiritual. We all have done this. When God told us to do something, because we did it before and it failed, we said, I already did that, and said no. Just think had he said no to God and didn't re-put the nets back out, he would have missed God. And so this is a perfect example of when we are operating from past failures, past pain, past mistakes, we're going to miss God. Because he can't, if he's trying to speak to us, me, right now, if I'm trying to speak to you right now and you still stuck back in the past, you're not going to even be conscious enough to hear what I'm telling you.
Right.
So this story, this one story, reflects that. It reflects that if he had not been disobedient, but it reflects because he was disobedient, look at what happened, which takes me to Deuteronomy 28. I always do this. I know those who've been following the show know that that's probably one of Coach D's most favorite scripture, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it's verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to read that, sister, and then I'm going to let you take off from there. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, says basically that if we hearken diligently, not just listen, though, and obey. So it says hearken diligently and obey, or hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and observe and to do action, all that he commands you to do, then blessings will overtake you. And then it goes on telling you all these blessings that will overtake you. Sister, I don't know about you. Can you share with me, help me to understand, what does blessings overtaking me mean? What does that really mean to me? Is that a good thing that something's going to overtake me?
It sure is. Like all those fish, they had so many fish, El Shaddai showed up. They had more than enough. They couldn't even contain it all. But, yeah, that you know, that just gives us hope, you know, in what we need to look forward to. And I love what you said, if, you know, if I can piggyback off that, is how, you know, we as believers have to be very careful that we don't harden our hearts toward God and say, okay, well, I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm turning you off, God, because things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, and now you've killed your own dream.
Mm.
And then now there's bitterness, there's misery, there's all kind of just, it's crazy for me to even try to think of all the stuff that comes with that. But guarding our heart against the disappointment, what didn't work, you know, and just being determined to have that mindset that no matter what, I'm going to bless God. I'm going to trust him. And God, even when I'm hurting, when I'm going through it, you know, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord because I know, God, you brought me through all these different situations. And we know, each one of us know what we've gone through and where God has brought us. So, you know, but the worst thing I believe that a Christian could do is just throw in the towel and say, you know, it doesn't work, or God is not true to his word. You know, that is a very dangerous place to sit down in.
Yeah,
very dangerous. So, but yeah, blessings. Just so much. I don't believe we can really quite imagine it all, because God just keeps on adding and adding and adding to us.
Amen. You know, you were saying that, and do you know how many people, there are so many people who have made choices, and I'm going to give some good examples. There's many, but I'm going to give the example. This is an example that's evident, and you see it a lot. When we make a choice to marry the wrong person, and we say we seek God, and we prayed, and we said we pray, and we said we believe we got revelation, but did we really seek God? Did we really hear from God? And we make the choice. And many times we've seen all the red flags. We've seen the red flags. We've seen the red stop sign. We've seen the red light. Everything that was telling us to stop. Didn't say it would never happen, but it says right now, stop. And many of us continue to move forward. And then we move forward. We do this thing, and then it doesn't work. And then when it doesn't work and it fails, now we're angry at God. We're angry at God. How could you do this to me? I don't deserve this. These are the things we begin to say, and we immediately want to embrace and sleep with that victim spirit. We want to become victims, you know, and we point the fingers. But this person this person couldn't hold a job, and this person couldn't do this, and she couldn't cook, and he was abusive, and we go through all this list of the pointing the finger at the other person, never ever acknowledging, accepting responsibility that we were just disobedient. One of the things God told me the other day in my morning devotion, he said, Denise, procrastinating is still disobedient. Procrastinating is still disobedience, because oftentimes when we were procrastinating, I'm a procrastinator. Oftentimes when we procrastinate, we don't see that as disobedience. We just see it as, okay, I'm kind of slow dragging. I'm just taking my time. I'll get around to it when I get around to it. And before we know it, a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, a year done passed, and we still haven't done that thing that God told us to do. I'm guilty of that. I got some things right now that's why he told me. Procrastination is still disobedience. And we're operating in the spirit of procrastination, and we're disobedient. We're not doing what God has told us to do. So we're not throwing out the net. And so now we're not seeing the manifestation of the blessings taking place, and we oftentimes wondering why. Well, where is your net? Is your net sitting up on the shelf? Is your net sitting in the chair? Where's your net at?
Wow.
Are you in fear? Yeah. You know, are you in fear to throw the net? Scared that it's not going to do what it did last time?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, definitely, we gotta ask ourselves those questions. We have to find out those questions. Where am I at? Am I hearing God? Because sometimes we're not hearing God. And what's some of the reasons we're not hearing God? Too busy? Too busy doing it our way? Not taking time? And oftentimes when we're doing it our way, think about it. And you could attest, sister, how many times have we got busy doing it our way? Because when we're doing our way, we get real busy. And we get so busy doing it our way that we don't have time for God. We don't have time to be still.
Right. Right. And then end up unhappy as a result, you know?
Exactly. And then the thing about it is, how many of us know that after we've done it our way, we've gotten so busy, now we can put God on the back door. We don't have time for our devotion. We don't have time for prayer because we're so busy doing these good things, but we fail to realize that it's not God's thing because we've taken God completely out of it. And then it doesn't work. We have a fall. It dips. And then where do we end back up at?
Yeah.
Back to God.
I think sometimes we get stuck in that place of being motivated by a good idea, but a good idea doesn't make it a God idea. And we have to be able to separate the two. We can even get so caught up in helping people and feel like, you know, we're doing such a good deed. That's not really where God wants us to be at that time.
And so now there's another distraction right there, but it's dressed up. It looks good. It sounds convincing.
I mean, it's good to help people. I mean, I'm all for it, obviously, but I'm just saying we can even miss it in that if we're not focused, you know, in God, you know what I mean, in God's guidance, you know.
You know, there's a song, and I was trying to identify it. I don't know who sang it. It's a young lady who sings this song, and probably anyone that's listening in might know what song I'm speaking of. And I listen to this song all the time, and for some reason, I can't think of the title. But basically, in the song, she's saying in the song that she's a worship leader. This lady's a worship leader. That's her ministry. And she's mentioning, this is my ministry. And I'm, you know, I do this and I see the people delivered and I see the people set free and I see the people whole. And she says, and I got so caught up in ministry that I forgot about you, God. I forgot about you. And now I'm broken. That's the name of the song. I believe that's the name of the song. It's called I'm Broken. And I listened to that song, and for a minute there, I get on these kicks. When a song ministered to me, I'll listen to that song for probably two. I mean, just back, you know, that becomes my theme song for the week or for a couple of weeks because I get up in the morning and that becomes my song. And this was one of my songs because it just really spoke about, how we could get so caught up in works. We could get so caught up in works. And like you said, everything that's a good thing is not necessarily a God thing because we could be doing a lot of good things. We could be serving at church. I'm not saying that you shouldn't serve at church. I'm not saying that you don't have a passion for your vocation and ministry. I'm not saying any of that because we need all that. The kingdom needs that. The kingdom needs everybody to be in place, moving towards purpose. But what I'm saying is that when those things become God to you and we get so caught up with the creation that we forget the creator, then there's an issue. That's an issue there because then we miss the point. And many of us do that. Many of us get so busy with work or occupation, or vocation, and we're spinning wheels and we're turning. And guess what I found out? And I mean, me being, you know, I have my vocation, as you all know. I'm, you know, the MCD Network. I'm ordained minister. I'm an employer, employee. And I could just think there was a season where I felt like I was just moving in motion. I was just like a robot. And I didn't see nothing turning, nothing looked like it was growing. I mean, it was just like being in, you know, not knowing what season I was in. It was winter, but I was still in a bikini, you know. And we don't know that just like it is in the spiritual, it is in the natural, because there's everything, the spiritual supersedes the natural. And so when we're in the natural, we have to understand that in the spiritual, there's seasons too. God created seasons. So it's not just in the natural, it's in the spiritual. And we got to be able to identify, and I was just saying this on Tuesday's broadcast, we have to be able to identify what season we're in. Because if we can't identify what season we're in, then we may get confused and think God has forsaken us. When the reality of it is that God has, he won't leave us nor forsake us. But what it is that we may be spiritually in winter, but we're trying to harvest. And we all know that that's not when you harvest. You don't bear the fruit in winter. And so we're in the winter, and we're trying to harvest and wondering why we ain't bearing fruit. Well, guess what? Because you're in spiritual winter. And you got to be able to identify, how do I know that I'm in spiritual winter? Well, you got to find out what your season, what's the characteristics of each season, because there's something to bring out of every season. But you just have to be able to determine what is it that you're supposed to take. What am I supposed to take out of winter? That may just be a time I need to sit still, be still, and my prayer should not be where I'm asking for something. But maybe my prayer in the winter should be just me sitting still and being, you know, be still and know that he's God.
Right.
So what I'd like to do, sis, unless you have something else that you want to share, I want to give the audience an opportunity for those listening in. If you have a question or a comment in regards to tonight's subject, we would love for you to chime in by dialing 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's topic. Again, that's 1 on your dial pad. And we're going to continue on with this dialogue. And if, like I said, at any given time, if you have a question or comment, just dial 1 and we will bring you in. So, sis, at the end of the day, tell me how people, let's say those people that are off track, they are off track, they're experiencing some of the things we talked about tonight. What has been your remedy for getting back on track?
Well, the first thing I do is I go to 1 John 1:9. Father, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And at that moment, we're restored. And I ask him to strengthen me, encourage me, and I try to get in that quiet place, and I ask the Lord to hold back distractions, sustainable that would ordinarily reach out to me because I need that alone time, and he does it every time. You know, just worshiping, just being still, you know, shutting out the noise, you know, that really helps me every time, just shut out noise, distractions, and just, you know, go into that place with him, and, you know, I'm ready to go again, you know.
Amen. So you said a key thing, the first thing that the first way of getting back on track is repentance, to repent. And that's definitely a good way, because I think that I often say that true repentance produces forgiveness. You know, true repentance produces forgiveness. And so to start it off by just cleaning the slate, so to say, is a good thing to get connected. It removes the particles, the obstacles that's in the way that's blocking the vertical throughput. You know, when you think about that vertical relationship with God and think of it like being a food, and when we get all stopped up with our stuff, we get backed up with our stuff, so now we got these bottlenecks, these things that's blocking the throughput. We can't even hear God. You know, we can't hear him. The blessings don't seem to be flowing like we know they can. And so now we got a vertical bottleneck. And repentance is the first. What's this stuff that they put in sinks? It's Drano. Repentance is like Drano. It begins to clean the pathway, that vertical pathway, to get us back plugged in and tuned in to our Father so that now we can begin to hear him again. We can begin to feel his presence, his anointing, which is his presence in our lives. And now we can walk back out and do what it is that he's called us to do. And we have clarity on the vision, because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the reality of it is that our dreams, visions, and ideas come from him. When we're connected to him, when we said we're his children, that's where we get our dreams, visions, and ideas. So if we can't hear him, then we don't know. You know, what I thought about it is that Noah, you know, when we think about Noah building the ark, what if Noah had some blockage where he couldn't even hear what God was telling him? You know, what if he got off track? What if he got off track and got busy doing busy work? What do we think would have happened?
Right. Look at all the people that would have been affected by his not hearing, therefore not obeying.
And we see something like Noah. Think about, whoa. We can see, because we could go back and read Noah, and we can look at that, and now we can see how, had he been disobedient, had he got off track, had he got busy doing a lot of good work and not God work, that storm, that rainstorm would have came, and like you said, a lot of people would have been affected. Well, guess what? We're the Noahs of this time, of this generation, of this century. We're the Noahs. And when God speaks to us, where is the nuggets falling? Where are we at? Are we conscious or unconscious? What are we doing? What are those things we're doing in those very moments that God drops some words on us that we need to hear, and we're not able to hear it? We're not able to move forward in it.
That's,
you know,
good.
He needs us. Well, when I said the kingdom needs us, you know what I'm saying? The kingdom needs us. The kingdom needs us to be in position. And it's like military. Right now it's football season, so that's a good analogy. You know, the Rams couldn't play successfully if their quarterback is not in his position. And so everybody has a position that they have to play, and if they're not in position, they risk the whole team not winning the game. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. We all have positions. And when we sit back chilling and relaxing, acting confused, like we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know. You know, I hear people say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't feel like doing nothing. Well, guess what? The kingdom needs you. So you need to get into a place to connect, to find out what it is you're supposed to be doing. What's your gifts and talents? Because your whole purpose on this earth is telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the purpose. And you need to be figuring out what am I supposed to be doing so that people come into that knowledge.
Right,
you know,
right, right. And look. Mm-hmm.
No, okay. Yes. Go ahead, sis.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was trying to pull up the scripture here. So in verse 10, at the bottom part of verse 10, it says, Jesus said to Simon, have no fear. From now on, you will be catching men, which takes us, you know, like you said, that purpose in being witnesses for Christ. They heard and obeyed God, and they got, you know, God blessed them abundantly. But then they became fishers of men, and that's what we are, whether it's in the business field of business, or on our jobs, or in our homes, in the malls, gas station, wherever, we're fishers of men. And I was just reading over that scripture, and I was like, wow, you know, it looks to me like there was a real connection there. They heard. And see, a lot of our elevation is tied into that. Will you hear me and do what I'm telling you on this level? And as a result, I can promote you and elevate you in other areas. And God could see there that, okay, I can trust you, you know.
Yeah.
And so now that's the ultimate. I mean, being fishers of men is even greater than, you know, all the other stuff, because we know that's really truly the heart of it. But I'm just saying, look at the significance in how Jesus said, from now on, you will be fishers of men. That's powerful.
Yeah. That is powerful. And I never, you know, I didn't even go down that far to go to 10. And I'm so glad that you brought that out, because guess what? Like you said, that's powerful. But one of the things I didn't even pay attention that I just said, that Luke 5:4-10 just tells it all. Because guess what? People are constantly trying to figure out what their purpose is. And the purpose is Jesus. The purpose is the Great Commission. The purpose is telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? In Luke, these were fishermen. That was their trade. That was their talent. That was their skill. And so God took their skill set and said, now we're going to use that same skill set for you to be fisher of men. So somebody tonight heard that. The light bulb just came on. You've been sitting around twiddling your fingers, trying to figure out, what do I do? You've gotten this preconceived idea based on the world's reality. You've gotten a preconceived idea based on the world's reality about purpose. And you think it's this dynamic thing that's beautiful, that's placed in a box with wrapping paper and bows, and you think, and you're trying to fulfill this purpose, that you got a preconceived idea of what purpose is, and that preconceived idea is not reality. It's not God's reality. The purpose is Jesus. Your gifts, your tools, your gifts, your talents, your skills. Those are the things that you're going to use to fulfill the purpose of people coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what Luke is saying. And so, again, I've told you I get caught up on songs, and the one for this week for me that I've been holding on to is a gentleman by the name of Leon Timbo. And I tell you, one of my sisters turned me on to this gentleman, and I've been listening to his songs all week. I send it to everybody, anybody I thought I could send it to. And I'm telling you, if you're on this call and you know that I text you this song, I am telling you, with every breath inside of me, I'm telling you, stop. Take 30 minutes. And I guarantee you it's going to take longer than that. But I'm telling you, just take 15 minutes and sit somewhere quiet and listen to that song. And I guarantee you, once you've committed to listening to 15 minutes of that song, you are going to listen to the rest of the song. Because the words on this song has such a heavy anointing on it. And the words in this song are just so life transforming. Because I listened to this song, and when I first started listening, I was like, oh, you know, I couldn't get with it. I was hearing it. I was hearing the song, and I was like, And about by the time 10 minutes of the song got in there, all of a sudden I stopped hearing and I started listening. And all of a sudden, I began to weep. And I'm a crybaby. Everybody might not be a crybaby. I began to weep. And one of his words, the name of the song is Holding On to Nothing, Abba. I Hold On to Nothing, Abba. And there was a verse in this song, and I've been saying it, that just clicked for me. And I had a paradigm shift. I mean, like, immediately, like now. What's now? 0 to 5 seconds. I know my coach is on the phone, but in the studio tonight. But it was a now. It was a now shift. And his word said, "Your thoughts define me. You live inside me. You're my reality." And I thought that was so powerful to me, because I thought when I heard that, it immediately bore witness with my spirit, because I thought, if I'm a believer and I've accepted Jesus Christ and I'm a child of God, then when Jesus left here, he left behind the Comforter. And I believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the three became one. And if we truly believe that as believers, then we know that the very presence, the very Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. Now, I just want somebody to get it. We know this, but I want you to get it. The very presence of God is living on the inside of us. And if the very presence, the very DNA, his Spirit is living on the inside of us, that means his thoughts define us. What God said, and you said, well, what is his thought? His thoughts define us because he lives inside of us. What is his thought? The word, his word, the uncompromisable word of God is his thought. That is, God gave us a piece of his mind. When a person write a book and you read that book, you are reading a piece of this person's mind. So when we
wow.
read the Bible, we're reading a piece of God's mind. It's God's thought. And so if he lives inside of us because we've accepted him, then his words are his thoughts, and his thoughts, his words, should begin to define us. And if his thoughts are defining us, then he's our reality. Get it? He's our reality. So this no longer the world that's our reality. There's no, it don't, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bill Cosby, I don't care who. Why are we caught up in thinking we have a responsibility to put somebody in office? That ain't our reality. That's not my reality. And I know people may not agree with that, but God is my reality. He's still on the throne, no matter whoever the people vote in. God is still on the throne. And I have a responsibility as a kingdom citizen to pray for what's going on in this earth, to pray that other kingdom citizens that's caught up in this earth realm, that they're going to make it, that they're gonna get to the other side, that they're going to, you know, that's my responsibility. My responsibility is not to put somebody in office their reality is not my reality. And so if God is living inside of me, his word, his thoughts define me, then he's my reality. And so when I heard that song, it was just such a powerful transformation. It was a powerful aha moment. And I'm telling you guys again, this guy's name is Leon Timbo, T-I-M-B-O. And the name of the song is Abba. The name of the song is Abba. And for anyone that don't know what Abba means daddy. And the word of God tells us that Abba, I believe is the Hebrew word for daddy, Abba Father, daddy God. And he's crying out before Abba Father. And this is what came out, and it was such a revelation. I'm going to get off of that one, because every time I think about that song, the spirit of the very presence of God, the anointing just falls on me because it's such a revelation. So, again, if you're listening in on tonight's show, and you have a question or a comment, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you're listening in, you have a comment you want to add to. You might have a question for our special guest tonight. And we'll be more than glad to take your questions or your comments. If you dial 1 on your dial pad, we'll bring you in. Don't be shy. We are starting to get towards the end of our show, and I'm going to let I they say you can't give a preacher a mic. I'm going to ask my sis if she could give us some parting words. Some nuggets, some things that we could hold on to take with us this week. And then from there, if we don't have any questions or comments, we'll be closing out our show. So, sis, do you have any closing words for the audience tonight?
Yes, I do. I would really encourage people to get alone, get in a quiet place, get you some paper, a pen, and do some writing, some journaling, and just write out every, you know, write out your vision. You know, what is God telling you? What are the desires of your heart? And, you know, what are your skills? What are you good at? You might be a really good cook. You might be nurturing with people. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But just, I would really encourage you, get alone and do some writing. And then be honest while you're writing. And don't place limitations on God that you wouldn't do certain things because of the resources you lack or have need of at the present moment, but be honest and be willing to dream big, you know, write all of it down, you know, create a poster board. You can get those for 50 cents or something like that. Get your poster board and cut out some magazine images and put them up there. You know, my poster board is I drew lines and have it, and I have mine in four sections, and I labeled each one, you know, the different visions that I have, and you know, you can just keep adding to it, but definitely do some writing. And then when you're in that alone time with God, write down things that he's telling you, right, that made in the time exactly what you heard, you know, and just, you know, always be willing to shut out noise. And lastly, so aggressive about your dreams that you don't consider people, because whatever God is telling you to do, you got to know that there's something greater on the other side of it. There are people connected to your dream. There's people waiting for you to step into that position that Coach D talked about. Like I think you said, the Rams, they can't win if they don't have the quarterback in position. So finding out what your position is and getting into that position and, you know, be active in the process, you know, keep moving, but be patient with yourself, be patient with the process while you actively move, you know, and exhaust every resource. But in the process, be a witness, because that is truly the heart of God, and that will even open doors for you to grow, to go to greater levels. But trust us, if he can hear, you know, if we would hear and obey, and I'll just say, if I got a couple more seconds, Coach D, many times I've missed it. The Spirit Lord told me, go talk to that person, go tell them. Many times I've missed it. You know, and but, you know, there's been many times I've you know, got it, but many times I failed out of my own choice. I've yielded to that disobedience. And so, you know, I'm aware and I take accountability for it, but I do know that as we are, you know, quick to hear, just stop everything and say, okay, God, I know I heard God say, go pray for that person. Just do it, because we don't know that one person you might reach, you know, at the store on today, that there's generations attached. That's one woman, there, man in that household, and then they go back and they got all their family members and so on, generations. So we got to be kingdom-minded, not only seeking material possessions and God just bless me, but what are we doing to support the kingdom? So I believe there's a serious balance as to, you know, reaching out to the people, but then also fulfilling the other, you know, the things that God tells us to do, be it ministry, business, whatever. There's a lot of things, you know, and God, you know, has, you know, unique plans for each of our lives. Pretty much my close, and I really, truly appreciate you, my sister. I love you, and it's such an honor. I can't wait to see you again in person and hang out with you. And so much love to everybody on the line. Love you all, and thank you again so much.
Well, I thank you too, and I appreciate you and love you. And just thank you for taking the time and just coming and sharing. And It's always a blessing. It's always a blessing to have you. So I appreciate you, and I thank you for coming. And I thank you, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your continued support of Processing the Pain. You truly have been a blessing. If it was not for you all that listen in weekly, there would not be any show. So I just want to say thank you. Some people ask, well, Coach D, how can I continue to support you? And how you could continue to support me, one of the biggest things is by inviting others to tune in to Processing the Pain on Thursday night or Woman to Woman on Tuesday night. If you could just invite people, let them know about our shows. If it's been a blessing to you, let them know that so that they could tune in and be blessed by it as well. That's one way you could support. The other way that you could support is that Coach D, a lot of people don't know this, I use the term Coach D, but I am really an ordained minister. So I am available to, and I do, when invited, I do go and speak at various events and conferences and different things. So I am available to speak. So that's another way you can support if you know of events and they're looking for someone that could come in and either bring the word, which that's my passion. But I could come in and do motivational speaking and speak to people. But my passion is coming and bringing. I could mix the motivation with the word. So I'm going to bring the word. So that's another thing that I'm available. And if that's something that you're interested in, then you can always hit us up on our website. And my website or email is coachd@mycoachd.net. Again, that's Coach D, the letter D, like Denise, @mycoachd.net. So shoot me an email. If you are interested in being on any of our shows, please shoot us an email. Tell us a little bit about your story. Give us a little resume or a little history about your story. We'll take a look at it with our team and make a decision. If your story is chosen, then we will contact you and set up time for you to become a guest on the show. So either whether you want to be a guest or you want us to be a guest in something that you're doing, then please feel free to email us. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. Know that you are loved and appreciated. We're praying God's favor and God's grace upon you. And have a good evening.
Lord, I surrender.